You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Cooking in Mexican from A to Z. Your host, Aaron Sanchez, alongside my beautiful mother,
Sarela Martinez.
And we're talking about season four of this wonderful podcast, Cooking in Mexican from A to Z. We are embarking in episode five, so we appreciate all of your support and your enthusiasm with our content is and our wonderful guests that continue to grace the airwaves as it is, and estamos muy agradecidos a todo el apoyo y todo lo que hacen ustedes para soportar nuestro podcast. And here we are. We're talking about a very interesting subject, Mom, and I know this is very near to dear to you, but we're talking about cooking with flowers in the Mexican kitchen, in la cocina, and las recetas and the recipes that spawn from that. And we have an unbelievable guest here, and we are very excited about this. And it's my tocayo. His last name is Sanchez. Lester Loon Sanchez, of course, is what we're talking about. And he is the foremost expert of cooking with flowers in the Mexican diaspora and the cuisine. He hails from the beautiful state of Veracruz, Jarocho all the way, 100%. And let me just give you a little bit of background on Señor Lester Loon. He's an author and penned three books, Endemic Edible Flowers of Veracruz, which came out in 2013, Flowers in the Veracruzana Kitchen in 2018, and then, of course, his most recent beautiful book is the recipe book of Jalapeña Regional, the Regional Basket, which is led him in his research to discover new flowers that no one has ever heard of. And I think a lot of people take for granted how it has a way of interweaving itself in modern day cuisine in Mexico, especially. He's the chef at the restaurant Macura in Veracruz, traditional Veracruzan restaurant. And so he comes with unbelievable accolades, as you can imagine. So I just want to welcome him on behalf of my mama and my jefa and you. So welcome, Lester Loon.
Thanks. It is a great pleasure to be here with you. So I admire you both, Sarela and Aaron. Of course, firstly to Sarela, who met many years ago here in Veracruz. There are not words to express my admiration for someone who has worked so hard to promote Mexican cuisine. And by the way, she still do it. So I fondly remember those afternoons at La Nostalgia Kitchen, or sitting at a great table full of food in someone's old house in Hico. I still keep your book, very lovely, Sarela's Veracruz. I love that. Of course, Aaron, you have given voice to the many Latinos around the world. Many could see you as an example to follow, so congratulations. I'm so happy to be here with both. I want to apologize in advance for any mistakes I might make. My accent is terrible, my pronunciation too. I'm like a infrastructure president. And I don't have much practice nowadays, so I'm so sorry.
You know, you don't need practice. You know, I have a story about when we met. You know, he had this. Did you marry the girl that you were with then? Is that the girl that you dedicated the book to?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, he was with this couple, an adorable girl. And he, I don't know what the deal was, but he wanted to connect with me. And I said, if you're serious, let's make some dishes for me today. And this was like market day. And it was like, so anyway, by 6 o'clock at night, he had made two extraordinary dishes. And I said, this guy's going to make it.
Absolutely.
Yes, I don't forget.
So let's talk a little bit, and I'm sure we're going to touch a lot about the stories, because I think, Mom, you know, one of the things that you always say is that I'm a Mexican that didn't know my own country. and you start to travel within your own country to understand it. And Veracruz, apart from Oaxaca, spoke a lot to you. And it just opened up all of your sensory and your appreciation for our cultura and our patria. And then, you know, through all that, you've learned specifically about, you know, food from Veracruz, obviously. But let's talk about the ideas of flowers and how they play into the Mexican cuisine.
Can I just make a quick description of Veracruz? It is a 400-mile-long state. It borders on seven different regions. So it has seven regional cuisines in a way. But, you know, the cooking of the mountains is flowers, mushrooms, elites, you know, those kind of vegetables. And they have some beef. And then the other side is Afro-Mexican mostly and Mediterranean. Is that a good description, Mr. Moon?
Yeah, that's a great description.
So the first flavors that I had with flowers there were ¿cómo se llaman? The red ones, gasparitos.
Yeah, it's an edible flower
that a lot of people use as a substitute for meat. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about those flowers that you cook with the most.
Well, I start to talking about my book. I decided to write this book 6 years ago when I finished studying at ESGAMEX with Yuri de Gortari and Edmundo Escamilla. Rest in peace. They pushed me in many ways to achieve it. So first, I tried to seek help from specialists like botanicals and anthropologists and researchers who had worked on the subject, you know, edible flowers. I didn't have an encouraging outlook. And they told me, you won't find more edible flowers than we have found. That's the idea. At that time, there were around 10 or 12 edible flowers registered in Veracruz. So I don't care. I decide to travel around Veracruz, you know, North Veracruz, Middle Veracruz, South Veracruz, and try to looking for any flowers that were not registered yet. My surprise was enormous when I found many other flowers that were used for food here in Veracruz. I mean, on unregistered flowers. Currently, or nowadays, my work includes 65 flowers, edible flowers, and more than 300 recipes.
Wow.
We are talking about a 6 years investigation. So there are a lot of edible flowers here in Veracruz.
Now, through your research, Lester Loon, like, have you ever, because people might be very concerned about eating a flower because they could be considered poisonous. Now, how was that process in your research? Were you ever concerned or se corrió un problema, algo así, durante, you know, all your viajes and all that? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, I think flowers or edible flowers is something that start in pre-Hispanic Mexico. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about edible flowers, we talk about something that have 2,000 years.
The historia, happened. Yeah, the history.
Yeah,
you know.
Tenemos 200 años, 2,000 años, 4,000 años comiendo flores.
Andale.
You know, I told Lester Moon that that you wanted to have somebody on to talk about pre-Hispanic foods. And he said to me, that ended 500 years ago.
We
have indigenous food now.
I think that's
a very interesting point to bring up, you know.
I think something like that. Pre-Hispanic cuisine is something that has already happened.
Great.
Yeah. While the indigenous cuisine is still alive. A lot of the information of the recipes in my book come from that Veracruz that is still alive. called Afro descent,
yes,
or indigenous, yeah, maybe Hispanic influence or totally mestizo. That's Veracruz. Well, we cannot deny that food with edible flowers has origin in the pre-Hispanic times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But of course, the influence remained in Mexico thanks to our indigenous roots.
Yep.
Although European also ate flowers.
Yes.
African ate flowers. That's the reason why we have roses and hibiscus flowers in the Veracruz cuisine.
Yes.
So I try to explain that cooking with edible flowers is very complex, and it doesn't end in the pre-Hispanic times. It continues for 500 years, creating a new way of eating, which sometimes called Veracruzan cuisine.
Yes.
And it's very evident in the edible flowers. Someone else told me sometime, Mexicans are flower eaters. And that's true. Not only our flowers, we also learn to eat another flowers, yeah, like Hispanic flowers or African flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Do you feature any dishes with flowers in your menu in your restaurant in Jalapa, Jucara?
I have a lot of them. For example, I have enchiladas de nata.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Con flores de calabaza.
Oh my God, that's really delicious.
That's a wonderful dish.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because for everyone that doesn't know about some of the more popular flowers that are used in Mexican cuisine, I think the first one we have to acknowledge is the flor de calabaza, no? Right? The zucchini flower, no? It probably has the most recognition, right? I think we can agree as far as that. But then you move into the hibiscus or the jamaica, like you said. Which is it in the sorrel family or is it a violet? Because I'm kind of interested in the idea of jamaica and the hibiscus plant, the flower, I should say. So let's talk a little bit about the most recognizable flowers that are used. No, what do you think for our listeners?
Yeah, I think we have maybe 3 or 4 flowers. For example, isote flower. There are a lot of recipes with isote flower. Maybe also something that Charella said, Gasparito flower. It's also a lot. There are a lot of recipes with Gasparito flower. Of course, squash blossom. Yeah, there are a lot of recipes.
How about the orchids?
My book is right with the scientific names.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's important. For example, it's isote flower. It's called Yucca guatemalensis.
Okay.
So it's the same thing in English, French, or Spanish because we use the scientific name. So we have Yucca guatemalensis or Gasparito flower is called... It's called Erythrina americana, for example. So my book have these scientific names, and it's so important.
Are the Gasparitos available anywhere in the United States, the plants?
Yes, I think so. For example, the isote flowers, somebody told me that she found isote flowers in L.A.
Yeah, they're beautiful white colors. Flowers that come on a yucca. And they, when is the season? ¿Cuándo la temporada?
La mayor cantidad, de flores. His.
¿En la primavera no, o en?
Ha.
Okay, so in the primavera. Spring is the majority, spring. No? Is what we're trying, yeah, or no?
Yeah,
okay.
But it's not only spring.
Mm-hmm.
We can find a lot of flowers in January or December.
In the hotter places?
It depends. Yeah, it depends the region or the place or the temporary. For example, this kind of flower that I told you, Gasparito flower, in northern Veracruz start in January, Middle Veracruz start in spring, and South Veracruz start in August, something
so
like that.
So the flavor is different, no? Flowers. Between the regions, I would imagine, no? Les no? Tiene una diferencia en sabor, no? Okay, yeah.
Yes. Wow. And we have a lot of different kinds of flowers. For example, we have Erythrina americana, pero también tenemos also have Erythrina forcersky in the Tuxtlas. Mm-hmm. It's a similar flower that we call Gasparito. So we have different flavors.
They're red and very succulent. Let's talk a little bit about the restaurant.
In that same vein, Mom, let's talk about how do you cook the flowers? Do you use them as a garnish? Yeah, is it? Do you use them as a garnish? Do you cook with them? Do you cook them very, very softly so they don't lose their potencia? Like, let's talk a little bit of how do you use the flowers in cuisine and in your restaurant?
There's something important that I want to explain before. For example, what eat flowers means. That's important. So in the ancient Mexico, flora represents life, death, God's creation, man, the language, poetry, art, friendship, lordship, a captive in war, heaven, earth, the heart, even a calendaric sign. So it accompanied the man from his birth to his death. Yeah, evidently the flower was one of the basic elements in the pre-Hispanic symbolic communication as a synonym for precious. So when we decide to eat flowers, we did them only as a physiological need. Yeah, we did because it represents our way of understanding the world, the way we eat the world. So that's very important. Yeah. So eat flowers is not only like, what kind of flower we going to eat today?
It represents birth. It's the female. And really, the female is the flower. It's where life is given. And you think about it symbolically, like you just said beautifully, Lester Nun, it's that. No, Mom? It's the female, it's the flower. It's so beautiful, the analogy.
It's very eloquent. It's a yes. Pleasure for me to have been able to invite this room because he is of a new generation of chefs in Mexico who are really dedicated to doing cooking responsibly, sustaining the environment and
thank you, Sarah.
And it's just wonderful. To not only is that, but to he's a poet. Read us the dedication in your book. Read it in Spanish to the woman.
And we'll translate because it's beautiful. Please. Hay traducimos, me rey, por favor.
A la mujer que me alimentó con las flores que crecían en el jardín.
It's beautiful. To the woman who gave me nutrition, who cooked for me with the flowers in our garden.
In our garden, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. That's my mom.
Wow. That
was your mom.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's like illusions.
Yeah, and you think about how much it takes to take care of a flower, right? In times of cold and weather and all these different sort of natural elements that can either have a flower grow and sustain itself and proliferate, or it could die. So you really have to love that flower.
Well, yeah,
and you
like
have to care for
it.
You know,
the little prince.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have two beautiful stories about edible flowers in Veracruz. I think they are very important to understand. The first one, an anthropologist traveled when he was very young to a mountainous area with a population that is still mostly indigenous, called Tsongolica. It's a Nahua people. So there, he stayed in a house of an important family. One morning, he was having a breakfast, and a young man sat down opposite him. And the young man began to eat a huge plate with flowers. These flowers are called yolosochit, which mean heart flowers. You know, it's yolo, heart, and sochit, flower. Flores del corazón, flores de corazón. That's a beautiful word. And his first thought was, the people who live here are so poor, and they need to eat flowers to survive. That's a strong thought, you know? It's like poor people, poor people, poor people. So he couldn't be more wrong. The young man was getting ready because the next day he was going to get married. He was eating flowers to prepare. The flowers have a deep meaning of fertilization. So he was preparing himself, yeah, to make babies. You know, so that's eat flowers in Mexico mean.
I love it. That's so beautiful. So
we have a lot of edible flower salads. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. And of course, there's the 2 Michelin-starred Blanca tucked away in the garden for truly daring diners. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
So, Jeff, how do you use them in your restaurant? So, are there certain ones you make sopa, or do you make some that are just raw in a salad? Like, how do you use some of those flowers, those edible flowers?
It depends. It depends the flower.
Yeah. How about the gasparitos? How do you make gasparitos?
Yeah. For example, gasparitos, it's a flower that has an infinity of recipes. For example, have salads, hot broths, hot soups, stuffed chilies that are delicious, chili sauce, tamales, stew, moles, dessert, and many others.
But do you boil them first? Let's say you get home with your gasparitos. You wash them and then put them away or cook them right away?
I think there are 3 ways to cook flowers. I put in my book, or I wrote in my book. The first one, boiled. It's a...
Dinos en español, me re.
This kind of flowers.
Yeah. No?
We eat this kind of flowers por la textura, porque son carnosas. Yeah.
You make like patties, like hamburger patties and those gasparitos.
Yeah, it's like quelites. Yeah, it's the same meaning of quelites in the Mexican cuisine. So we eat quelites. Why? Yes, a little bit for the flavor, but commonly because they are carnosas.
Yeah.
So.
And how about the isote?
Like meat.
Yeah.
Like meat. So we have the second one, the flowers to give a color. Yeah, there are three or four flowers that used to be, that used to color dishes.
Yeah. Oh, really? Like what?
Yeah. Like, for example, something called Sangre de Cristo. Yeah, it's a little flower. It's like orange, or an orange flower, and put the dishes with a color like violet. Yeah, that's a wonderful. For example, for ciruela, dulce de ciruelas. Yeah, it's a dessert. We use this kind of flower to give that violet color.
Yeah, so the ciruela is like prune or plum, you know, plum, and you would use that to keep kind of exacerbate or make it more beautiful and colorful, no?
With the flowers.
Yeah. So it can be a, it can be a side component to enhance.
There's also a very famous broth, beverage, the bufu.
Yeah. That is the
Yachachi.
The other way to use the flowers in the kitchen is the flower for the aroma. Yeah,
it's a beautiful smelling orchid.
Yeah, it's used to flavor beverage such as atoles, chocolate, and horchata. There are a lot of beverage flavored with flowers. For example, I have two favorite flowers. One of them called Mayflower, Flor de Mayo, or two, Suchil flower. It's like Flor de Suchil. That's a beautiful word in Spanish because proviene de del Nahuatl flor. Suchil means flor. Flower.
Like cempasúchil.
No? Xochitl means flower. So in Spanish, it's something like flower, flower.
Oh. Yeah.
Flor de xochitl.
Yeah.
It's something beautiful. And the other one, the isote flower. Yeah. Their scientific names are Plumeria rubra and Yucca guatemalensis in that order. The first one is used to flower beverage such as atoles or chocolates or chata. It has a beautiful aroma like vanilla. Yeah, and I love that.
And they make a mole with that.
And bupu that you say, also bupu. It's a kind of beverage with atole, white atole, corn atole, and after something like espuma.
Mm-hmm. Froth.
With
froth, yeah.
Chocolate or cacao. And a little bit of piloncillo and a lot of Plumeria rubra flower.
Wow. So we're talking about chile atoles, which is, you know, is so Veracruzano, and it just it really defines it. Right, Mom? Really quickly for a chile atole, it's a corn.
It's a corn-based stew. It's a corn stew. Let's put it that way.
Corn starch,
corn-based stew.
Yeah, with broth, And...
And there are a lot of chilatoles with edible flowers.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot.
And where can people get your book? I mean, do you have it so that people can pay you to download it?
And also, with that same thing in mind, Mom, are you helping get some of those edible flowers to other parts of Mexico and also into the States? How do people procure those? Are they going to get them dried? Are they going to get them frozen and shipped to them? Like, how can people start to cook with them, even if we're not in Veracruz? You know, so we can expand that understanding, you know?
Well, the isote will be available in Arizona for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll try to explain. I think with the scientific names, people in USA could maybe find the flowers, maybe, okay? But there is something very important. When we talking about edible flowers here in Veracruz or here in Mexico, we're not talking about some ingredient. Okay? There are not something that you can buy. Yeah, they are talking about the environment. Yeah, a lot of flowers are trees, like a Gasparito flower or Isote flower. So you can find alrededor de la ciudad, en las fincas, where you have, how can I say, finca de café in English?
Coffee plantations.
Yeah, a coffee plantation around Jalapa, for example. We are talking about environment, not something that you can buy at supermercado. So if you want to cook with these kind of flowers, you can looking for with the scientific names. Seguramente, no? They will find there in the Union in the USA.
Is anybody commercializing them?
No. I for example, I heard or somebody told me that Salvadorian people in LA find the Isote flowers in the desert and he las vende en el mercado.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, that, in Arizona too.
Yeah, that's beautiful because there are a lot of Isote flowers in the USA, but nobody knows how can I eat.
How do you use them?
Yeah, that. So that's beautiful because Salvadorian people arrive and start to use them.
Let me ask you, just like, would you take, like, let's say, a garlic clove, some sliced onions, cook it a little bit, add the flowers, and add a stock or add it to zucchini, let's say, or whatever. So is that the way you would start a recipe?
I think it'd be great to do a quesadilla.
With
rajas, no? Like a little bit of onion, some roasted poblano, and then a beautiful array of flour and put in a beautiful quesadilla, no?
Would
be like something
that
easy for a starter, no?
That's a great idea.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you've done it, Chef. I mean, I'm not, you know.
Blossom squash has a lot of recipes too.
Recipes,
like salads, sprouts, soup, stuffed chilies.
But you know, that's interesting that you say that. If you look, so I work with Gordon Ramsay, and you know, Mr. Chef, and all of his food at his 3-star Michelin restaurant is decorated with flowers. If you look at it, son brotas, right? Or they're derivatives of the, you know, the parsley or, you know, the beetroot or whatever it is. And those flowers are so beautiful. And they end up being the garnish on a lot of these beautiful Michelin star restaurants. And they're flowers, Papa. They're flowers. And they're being garnished all over the world. And now people are starting to understand that that's the essence of that herb or whatever the vegetable is. It starts with the flower, right? Or the root. The root within the flower. So it's interesting to see that. Because look at any Michelin guide, and trust me, it's going to be garnished with flowers. You know? So it's interesting to see where we're going, you know?
How about desserts?
Yeah.
With the flowers. Do you make any desserts with the flowers?
Yes. For example, Isote flower has something called dulce, the Isote. Mm-hmm. That's very simple. You boil Isote flower with something of syrup, and you can add vanilla or how can I say canela. So that's a wonderful dessert.
Was ever with ice cream, maybe over ice cream?
Yes, or over a tart.
Oh, that would be great. So I wonder if they use them in ice creams.
Yes, for example, roses.
Oh, Rose. Oh, yeah, 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 Rose. Absolutely. And we haven't talked about that. I think that's interesting. La Rosa is used so much. I think you talk about, you know, the Persian Empire and all of that, them using, you know, rose as this beautiful sort of fragrant element, from savory to, I mean, let's talk about the famous dish, the quail with rose petal sauce, right, and like water for chocolate, no?
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the most famous use of flowers, no? You know, if you think about how it put it on the map, no, Mom? No?
That's yes, that's a good.
The rose petal sauce with, you know, so.
It gets you all aflame.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, I think that is the recipe that is most cooked on Valentine's Day in Mexican restaurants in the United States.
Yeah,
just bring out that recipe and.
I think the roses have the same meaning of fertilization. So, but the European civilization.
Yeah, crystallized.
That arrived to Mexico.
And then when you're in Spain, all the crystallized violets, and, yes, and all the things that taste of violets, that's fantastic. So it's, you know, cooking with flowers is more generalized than we realize. You know, there are all sorts of flower products that we don't think of, you know, as being, you know, cooking with flowers.
Mm-hmm.
It would be fun to explore the roses in Mexican food.
Yes, I think when we start to eat another flowers, different than the flowers that I have here in Mexico, also we start to understand how another people eat flowers. That's very important, because the the meaning of flower here, or eating flowers here in Mexico, in the pre-Hispanic times, is something like fertilization, something like all that I talked.
So, but here's the question: do you have a garden, and what are the flowers that you grow at your house or your restaurant? Because everybody wants to
of
know.
Of course.
Okay. So, what is
of course, Suchil flower
that the grand chef has? Yeah,
I have Suchil flower, blossom squash, and isote. I love isote. I have isote around my garden. I love
so,
it. And flor de suchil, is suchil flower, because it's a this kind of flower. You could find her in cemeteries.
Yeah, basuchil, yeah.
That's right, cemeteries. Yeah, because there are idea around the flower, that the flower feed the soul.
So
here in Veracruz, there are a lot of flowers around the cemeteries.
There and
to
over.
Feed the souls of our dead. That's wonderful. I think the second one, for example, the second one, beautiful story that I learned here in Veracruz, is in a region called Soteapan, the Sotke Popoluca populations have a tradition: when a baby dies, a little baby dies, a godfather must be found. So this godfather should take the baby to the church, sprinkling holy water on his head, and put a yellow flower called Puchmaya in his mouth. Puchmaya means in Popoluca, Puch, a yellow, and Moya, flower. So it's yellow flower. So this godfather put Puchmaya in his mouth to be fit in the next life.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the reason, because the Popolucas put a flower in the mouth. So we can see that enormous meaning that the flowers have to feed the soul.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the same meaning, because vamos a encontrar las
we will find,
las flores sembradas alrededor de los cementerios.
Yeah.
para que alimenten las flores a las almas de nuestros difuntos.
Yeah. How do you, besides feeding the souls, how do you cook with them at your restaurant?
Yes, with this kind of flour, I make horchatas.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they are in Alvarado, yeah. Something called horchata de flor de suchi.
Oh my gosh.
It's a rice horchata with
marigolds,
suchil flowers.
I think those two would be great in quesadillas, no? Sauteed.
Yeah, no, because this kind of flour is to aroma.
Oh.
Yeah, have a lot of aroma. Yeah. It's not a...
So it's not like a marigold.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds good.
It's not like elite.
Uh-huh.
It's
you would need it in a salad, in other words.
Yes, for example, a salad.
Sorry. So, Lester Loom, can you tell all of our listeners and everyone that supports Heritage Radio Network how to get in contact with you and be able to continue this conversation about cooking with flowers and in Mexican cuisine? Because I think that's very important. Because this, like we always say, I'm cooking in Mexican from A to Z on HRN, that we want this conversation to keep going. And your mission will not end, it just only grows bigger. So how can people reach out to you?
I have my email. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's lesterloomsanz at gmail.com.
We have to hear
well,
the origin of his name.
Yes, lesterloomsanz. And also Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like lesterloomsanz. Sans.
I love it.
So if the book is available to download for free, only in Spanish, by the way, you can write me an email or message to my social networks, and I'll give you.
Awesome. And real quick, before we say goodbye, tell us about your name. Because my name's Aaron. You know, my twin brother's name is Rodrigo, but Lester Loon is not the common name that you just find in the Jose or the Juan caliber vocabulary. So we would like to learn a little bit about that, please.
It's not a great story. My mom knew a French teacher whose name was that Lester Loon. Also, many years ago, when I was studying French, I have a French teacher who told me that she knew a town in England named like that, Lester Loon. She told me maybe it is a name that appeared on the border between France and England, because Lester is extremely England. So that's all I know.
And how your mother found it, I don't know. From the French teacher. We haven't really talked about your restaurant too much, but, you know, Jalapa is a really good place to go eat, because most people do not go to Veracruz. We don't have that many tourists in Veracruz. But
yes.
But the thing is that it's wonderful that you have this great restaurant in Jalapa. And
we have our beautiful friend, La Doña Raquel Torres, right?
Yeah, that's
the Chorrería de Recuerdo, you know, the iconic place. I've been and I've spent time with Raquel, obviously, as my mom has. And go ahead, I'm sorry, Mom.
No, that's how I met. That's how I met Lester Loon.
Mm-hmm.
Through Raquel.
Yeah.
And she told me. She said, "No, you should contact him, because his book on flowers is much better than mine." So. What a treat it has been to see you again. And, you know, hopefully we'll put up, the address to your restaurant and everything, so that when people do go to Veracruz, they can go visit you. And you can let us know, you know, what kind of things you're doing that people can partake of.
And we'll come up there and cook with you when we have the chance, okay, my mom and I, okay? And your beautiful restaurant, Mucarra, and it's in Jalapa. It is, it's a magical place. If you've never been to Jalapa, Veracruz, you're missing out. It's one of the most special places I've ever visited in my life. The mercados, the people, the food.
The museum,
everything. Have not seen Mexico till you've been to Veracruz and especially Jalapa. And hopefully you come and visit Lester Luna's restaurant, Mucarra, and just learn from him because, you know, it's just this magical place in Mexico that you've never seen. Forget all the tourist places. This is where you want to go if you want to learn about real Mexico. And it's indigenous and African influences and all of that good stuff. You know, Veracruz was considered sort of the Switzerland of Mexico, where all these different indigenous people came, you know, to find peace and solitude. So anyway, we are just beyond grateful. Estamos super agradecidos por tu presencia, mi rey. Eres un genio, eres un lujo, eres un tesoro de todo. Y muchísimas gracias por estar con nosotros. And thank you for taking time. And of course, please look up more information on Cooking in Mexico from A to Z on Heritage Radio Network. And I'm your host, Aaron Sanchez.
And I'm Sarela Martinez.
And we had the pleasure of having Lester Loon Sanchez Trinidad visiting with us today. So we hope to see you soon. Y hasta luego. Y nos vemos pronto. Cooking in Mexican from A to Z is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe. Una más en mis entrañas.